truth is grounded in the fact that while men pen the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the true author, and all God's people said, amen. James is one of the most wonderful books of the Bible, and we've entitled our study, Faith That Works. And we looked at James' pedigree. We looked at the person, the searching. We talked about how there are many James mentioned in the Bible, and we believe that the author here, James, to have been the Lord's brother. He was initially an unbeliever. He had seen the risen Christ. He had been converted. He had been an apostle. He had prominence in Jerusalem. And then we looked at not only the searching, but we looked at the servant. It says there in verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that Greek word doulos. It means a slave, a bondman, a servant. And this title is not one who is unwilling, but rather one who loves his master. Our cross-reference there said, Paul said to the Corinthians, for the love of Christ constraineth me. He didn't serve God because he had to. He served God because he wanted to. Amen. And thank God for that. Amen. The sweet, sweet Apostle Paul there and his love for the Lord. But then, not only does he love his master, he loves his master because he redeemed him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? The Holy Ghost dwelleth within you, for ye are not your own, but you're bought with a price. And we know from the book of 1 Peter that that price that bought us, it was something more precious than gold, ladies and gentlemen. It was the precious blood that flowed out of the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood to buy us back from the slave market of sin. And all God's people said, let me say this in passing, and we'll move into our lesson. Is there anything more frustrating than buying something that doesn't work? You ever got a toaster or microwave or whatever, and you got it home and you plugged it in and nothing? Listen, folks, think about how frustrating it must be to the Lord who gave His all for His people, that many of them, you know what they think? They think they're their own. That's a problem. We're not our own. We're bought with it. We belong to God, and all God's people said, amen. So we looked at that there, and we talked about how this slave, this doulos, at the bottom of page 1 there, does not worry in regards to the cares of life, for which his master provides. And Jesus gave us that great story there in Matthew chapter 6. He, as his disciples were covered with care about their clothes and their food, he went to them and he pointed out to them the flowers, and he pointed out the fowls, and he pointed out how God takes care of them, and that a person is much better than a fowl or a flower. And listen, if we're servants to the master, he'll take care of us. And I always think of that little praise chorus. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Trust fully in his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? You know that servant, that slave, he never worried about his food, his shelter, his clothing, because his master took care of him. So does ours. Amen. All right. Second page here for those of you that grabbed an outline tonight. And if you didn't grab one, there's still a few out there. Number two, not only do we look at number one, the person, but number two, the particulars. The particulars. And we see here James, the servant of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Okay? So on your outline here, we must remember that after the tremendous growth of the church at Jerusalem. And I want you to go back to these verses here in Acts, okay? Go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And you want to talk about a church that grew. My goodness, the church at Jerusalem really not only spiritually grew, it was birthed here. I believe the church is birthed right here in Acts chapter 2. But then, boy, it just grew by leaps and bounds. Look at chapter 2, verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." And by the way, that ought to be anybody that's truly saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, hey, you know what the next step is? To get in the tank, amen, and identify yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it says there, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." All at once. One day, the church went from a handful, 120 in the upper room, 3,000 souls. Go over to Acts chapter 4, verse 4. See here, another sermon. Peter and John healed the lame man, and there's a great miracle there, and the council comes, and they don't know what to do about it. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 4. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. Well, listen, we've probably got about 120 here tonight. Just imagine if in 2 weeks' time we had 8,120 here on a Wednesday night. I can tell you this, the offerings better go up. Amen? Because we'll need it, amen, to take care of all those people, amen? But they had a tremendous growth in the church at Jerusalem. But listen, this is important, because going back to the book of James, it talks about those that were scattered abroad, that God saw fit to allow persecution to come and to scatter, and we have the Greek word there for you, diaspora, okay, disperse, we know it as, okay, the Christians. And go, if you would, over to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. We must remember that after the tremendous growth of the church at Jerusalem, that God saw fit to allow persecution to come and to scatter, diaspora, the Christians. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." And of course, that goes back to the previous chapter when Stephen, that great deacon, was stoned to death. "At that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all," what's the next word, church? Scattered. They were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. God saw fit to allow persecution to come and to scatter, or diaspora, the Christians over all the world, all over the world. Now, it's important that we understand this, and we don't really have time to deal with it. God did not bring persecution just for persecution's sake. That is not our God. Amen. God always does things with a deeper purpose. Sometimes we can't see it, particularly when we're going through the storm, and all God's people said. Listen, when you're in the storm, it's hard to see God's purpose, but I promise you, God had a design to get the gospel to the edges of the world. And he used persecution. I've heard preachers say the church at Jerusalem got big and comfortable. Sometimes that happens in a big church. They get comfortable and they forget. Listen, the church is here for one reason: to get the gospel to a lost world. You said, "But they're not all going to believe." That doesn't matter. God told us to get the gospel to the ends of the... That is why the church exists. There's a lot of churches that exist for socials and bazaars and bingos and suppers. But ladies and gentlemen, the true church of the living God is to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what it's for. And so he disperses them. Diaspora here. He scatters them abroad. James is writing to those 12 tribes that were scattered. These Jews that would know him from Jerusalem. He was a prominent preacher in Jerusalem. They would know. And so he's writing to these 12 tribes. Go back to James. Verse 2. Hey, that's a week and a half just on verse 1. How about that? Amen? Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Okay? I want you to notice, number one, we have the pedigree, Roman numeral number one. Roman numeral number two, we have the pronouncement. What is the pronouncement? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Have you ever read a statement? Now listen, you can be honest. You don't have to say amen loudly, but I will. Have you ever read a statement in the Bible and said, you've got to be kidding me? Come on now. Don't look at me like you're visitors from heaven tonight. Amen. Hey, listen, the first time I ever read love your enemies and bless them that curse you, I said to the Lord, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. You really want me to love my enemies? By the way, the first time I ever read forgive those who trespass against us. Listen, why? That's not natural. It's spiritual. That's what this statement is. James, listen, James is a book that spiritually, we've mentioned this, that will pop you in the nose. James pulled no punches. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. So number one, we see the community. The community in verse 2. What's the community? The brethren. He's writing to believers. Do you know an unbeliever would look at this and say, you've got to be kidding me. By the way, some of us believers do that, amen? And if we do it, certainly the natural man, which receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, would look at that and say, that's crazy. The community is my brethren. Number two, we see the counting. Count it all joy. Do you know that's a act? It's an action that we have to perform. Listen, it is not natural to count it all joy when you fall into trials. It is not a natural thing. By the way, even the most spiritual person in this room would agree with me. Listen, you have to force yourself to do that. You have to. You have to. And by the way, isn't that amazing that the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to be able to say, God, thank you for these trials. I don't understand them, but thank you for them. So we have the community. We have the counting. We have the certainty. The certainty. You say, Pastor, where do you see the certainty in that verse? It does not say, count it all joy if you fall into divers temptations. You know what it says? To count it all joy when. You know what that means? It's an absolute mathematical certainty that you are going to fall into divers temptations or testings. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He didn't say he didn't give them to him. He said he was with me and delivered me out of them. So the certainty. And then number four, the community, the counting, the certainty. Number four, the calamities. The calamities. When you fall into divers temptations. Spiro Zodiades. I love to read Brother Zodiades. Amen. I love to just say his name. It's a great name. Zodiades. Matter of fact, he comes after me in the alphabetical line in heaven. I like that too. Amen. Z-O instead of Z-A. But he was a Greek that got saved. Brother Tom, I was thinking about as I was reading him that message you gave me, hush, you don't speak Greek. I was like, Brother Zodiades qualifies for that one. Amen. And he said this, joy under all circumstances should be the main characteristic of the Christian life. Circumstances of life affect us adversely or beneficially, and we get to choose. We get to choose. What do you mean, Pastor? When circumstances come into your life, you get to choose whether they make you better or bitter. And when you count it all joy and you give God the glory and you say, God, I know there's a purpose behind this trial, you are going to be better for it. Or you could say, why does this trial have to come into my life and this and that? And I've seen people do it and they bitter up on God and spend years in the wilderness. No, we're to count it all joy. Count it all joy when we fall into diverse, and that means various, many different types of temptations or testings. So we've seen the pedigree, Roman numeral number one. We've seen the pronouncement, Roman numeral number two. And we'll look lastly tonight, Roman numeral number three, at the production back in James chapter one. The production, as we've already mentioned here, look at James chapter 1, verse 3. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God does things with purpose. God does things with purpose. You want a spot there? Hold James. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Didn't have this in the notes, but it's good to let the Lord lead. Amen. Isaiah 55. And look at verse number 8, please. Here's God speaking. Look at verse 7. What a great verse this is. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Then he says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your way, or neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, our God does things with purpose. And listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, when we can't track Him, we can still trust Him. He does things with purpose. On your outline, He does not just bring trials into our lives for no reason at all, but rather that we would know that they produce, and we'll look at these two things that they produce. The first thing that trials produce is they produce patience before men. They produce patience. Our verse there, James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, what does it produce? Patience. Go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. The trying of your faith worketh patience, or it produces patience. By the way, you better be serious if you're going to pray for patience. I hear people say, oh Lord, give me patience. And I think you better be careful about that one, because you know what comes with it? Trials. Amen. Because trials produce patience just as sure as apple seeds produce apples. Amen. Romans 5:3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Or could I say, going back to our James 1:2, we count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation, trials, testings, temptations produce patience. Patience before men, and then secondly, praise before God. Praise before God. Trials produce praise before God. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Right on the other side of James is 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll end with this verse tonight. We looked at the pedigree. We looked at the pronouncement. We looked at the production. What is it that trials produce? They produce patience before men. And they also produce praise before God. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, believers, who endure trials. I'll tell you what. It's one thing to be producing patience, and that's a good thing for us. I know it is. It doesn't seem that way at the time, but boy, one day, you know what? God Himself is going to praise. He's going to go to that sweet little Christian mother, widow, who raised those four kids in church and say, "Bless you. Bless you for trusting me. I know it was hard for you." And he's going to pray. I know we're going to praise him, amen. This verse tells us that he is going to give praise to those that endured trials. And listen, let us not live for the praise of men. Let us live for the praise of God. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you again for this time that we could study the Word. Lord, I know it's brief, Lord, but there's so much in these verses. God, I pray that you'd bless us. I pray that you'd help us to know in times like these, we need a Savior. Lord, in these trying times, in these difficult times, in times like these, we need a Bible, Lord. And I pray that you would bless us now. Bless, Lord, the bus as it travels home tonight. And each one of us as we travel to our own homes, Lord, as we've just dove into James just a little, God, I pray that you'd help us to study your Word to show ourselves approved.